Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Find John's Gospel chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll begin there. And I want to talk to you tonight. I've talked about this before, but I want to talk some more about it tonight. It's been a while since I talked about it. I want to talk to you about building a culture of the Word in your life. Now, let's talk about this word. How many know you hear the word culture a lot today? You know, the culture of this, the culture of that. But, you know, God, we should have a culture about our life. You know, culture meaning your beliefs, you know, your characteristics, your qualities, your values, your standards, your practices, your behaviors. How many kind of you get a general idea about the word culture? I mean, you know. And, you know, just like sometimes they'll get new CEOs of companies to change the culture, you know, and a lot of times they mess it up. But, you know, it's like give the people what they want, what they like, instead of trying to give them what you want, what you like. You know, don't take the chicken strips off your menu or the gravy. Just leave it on there. Anyway, let's move along. Praise God. But how many know, you know, like, you hear the culture, like sports teams, you know, like, well, just for instance, you know, Indiana University. How about it, Scott? Say something. Come on. You know, their football team has the worst record in the history of college sports. And they got a new coach 2 years ago, and now they're getting ready, after they beat Oregon, to pray for the national championship and win it in 2 years. He changed the total culture of the whole place. First thing he did when she came on campus, he said, when he came there, he said, I need to change their thinking. You know, I don't remember how he said it, but they got losing thinking. I got to change that. And he's changed it. Well, how many know the Word will do that? That Word will change your culture. It'll change your beliefs and your standards and your practices and how you live. And we have to build that in our lives so that we have a Word culture like what God wants us to have. He wants us to have a blessed life. Amen. You know, I know this about the Lord. He never asks you to do anything for His own benefit. He does it for your benefit. You know, just like tithing and praising Him. That's for your benefit. It's not because, how many know God doesn't need His ego built up? How many figured out He's the Most High? And He's not arrogant about it, but, you know, one time, and I think it's in Isaiah, he talked about, are there any other gods besides me? I don't know of any. Amen. It's kind of funny. But there's, you know, and I think he would know, I mean, know that. You know, it's because some people kind of got this idea that, you know, God and the devil are kind of on the same level and we're going to see who wins. Not even close. You read in Isaiah, the devil said, I'm going to exalt my throne, you know, above the stars of God. I'm going to sit on the sides of the north. I'm going to be like the Most High God. And the next verse says, but you're going to hell. It was over with. Amen. How many know the devil's a loser and God is a winner? And I never watched IU football before. I never paid any attention. Occasionally I might catch a part of a game or something. But now then they play, every game I can watch, I'll watch it. Because the whole thing's been changed. Yeah. And so, you know, God wants us to have a winning life. Amen. Yeah. And so, but we're not going to do it apart from His Word. Amen. Right. But look at this in John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, how many of the Word's everything in the life of a believer? I mean, the Bible tells us that God is upholding all things by the word of His power. His power is released in His Word. You want to tap into the power of God, you got to tap into the Word of God. Now, we understand, when you understand all the things work together in the Bible, like the Holy Spirit is power, right? But, you know, the Holy Spirit, He moves on the Word. You ever read there in Ephesians? I'm sure you have, or at least a lot of you probably have. Ephesians 6:17, where it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you gotta, how many know, if you just think about this for a minute, it makes sense to you. you know, people think, well, okay, the Spirit's going to fight for me. Well, you have to have the, you have to give him the weapon. You've got to give the word. Remember back in Genesis, the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But it said the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, and it happened. See, the Spirit of God was waiting for God to say something, and then his power went to work. And that's the way it is in our life. The Spirit of God's waiting for us to say something. Amen. And then his power goes to work. But what do we got to say? Just anything that comes to our head? No. You got to say what the Word says, right? You don't just say anything. How many know you? That'll get you in trouble. Just in the natural, that'll get you in trouble. A lady in this church one time told me, said, I just say whatever comes to my mind. I said, the Bible's got a word for you. It's called fool. She doesn't come here any longer. Anyway, but you know, I mean, really, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, don't say that stupid stuff if you don't want a response. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? We don't, how many know, you ought to be mature enough to know you don't say everything that comes to your mind, because everything that comes to your mind is not good to say. You got to bring those thoughts into captivity and don't speak those. Amen. And so you find that the Word of God is it's how God releases His power. The Bible says He exalts His Word above all of His name. Now think about that. Your name's only as good as your word is. Are you right? If your word's no good, then how many know your name's no good? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the bank I bank at, if like every other week I write a bad check and I don't pay my bills, and then I go down there and want to borrow money, once I tell them my name, they're probably like, no, I'm sorry, you're not going to do it. But if your name's good, I bought a car one time. The banker just told me, you know, I told him I wanted to buy a car. He said, well, just go write a check for it. And when it comes, we'll cover it, and then you can come in and do the paperwork. I mean, no, you got to have a good name to do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, if you don't, I mean, they want blood and everything else. Amen. So the thing of it is God has exalted His Word above His name, because His Word, that's not the Word. The Bible says the Word is God. Right. Amen. So, you know, the Word's everything in the life of a believer. And if you don't spend time in the Word, you're missing out on what God has for you. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, would pass away, but His Word would remain. So all this that we see is going to go someday, but thank God the Word's going to stay. Amen. You may like everything. You may like your home. You may like your car. But you know, it's all going to pass away, but the Word's still going to be there. You know, you buy a new vehicle. I mean, it's nice for a while, but after a while, you know, it starts to, you know, things start to happen. You know, things start to, you know, it starts to look older and so forth. But the Word never changes. Amen. You see, if you don't get the Word in your life, you can't expect to be victorious, because that you're denying that part of God out of your life, if I can say it that way. Amen. So heaven and earth will pass away. But let me know, Jesus said this, and this is what I want to talk about tonight, that this word, the book, should produce our culture, or how we live, or how we think, or how we operate. Amen. How we conduct ourselves, what we believe, right? What we expect in our life. It shouldn't be what the world says. It should be what the Word says. Amen. You know, the world says you can expect to get older, which you will do that, and no matter what, you're going to do that. But they say, you know, when you get older, you know, your body's going to break down and it's going to fall apart, and you know, you're going to end up, you know, needing everything. You know what I mean? And they build that in you to expect that. But God said, with long life will I satisfy you? I don't know, as I get older, here's the way I feel about it. If I'm not going to be healthy, I'll just go to heaven. But see what God said, I'll satisfy you. Well, if you're satisfied, that must mean you're doing pretty good. Right? I understand the body's wearing out. I know the Bible tells that. But it doesn't mean it has to be beat down, sick, busted and can't get around and don't know anybody. And I know there's people like that, and people go through that. We pray for them. But I don't think that if we build a culture of the Word in our life, we don't have to be expecting that kind of thing. Amen. Amen. We could be like Brother Kenyon, who, and I don't know, I think he might have, I don't know, maybe he was in his 90s or what, how old he was now, but he just told his daughter and his wife at breakfast table, he said, "I'm going home today." Yeah. And they thought, he's slipping because he is home. But he didn't mean this earthly home. He meant his heavenly home. And they said, I don't know if it was his daughter telling it or who it was, but they said that about, I think it was 10 o'clock or 10:30, he was sitting in his chair and he's, you know, where he sits at, and he just said, "There comes Jesus," and he was gone. So he meant, see, Charles Capps did that. You know, Brother Capps, I heard Happy Caldwell say that Brother Capps called him and told him, he said, "I'm going home this weekend, Hap." "You are?" "Yep, going home this weekend." So they don't live very far apart, and they do now. They didn't then. I don't know how far heaven is, but it's farther than Huntingburg, I can tell you that. But so he said, "I drove down there to see him on Friday and just to spend some time with him, and on Sunday he went home to be with the Lord. Not sick. Just left." Hallelujah. Amen. But the world doesn't think you can do that. My grandma did that. One of my grandmothers did that. She lived to be 94 and died talking. I really shouldn't say dies. You know, the guy that was there with her said she was talking. It said like she went to get a breath and it was gone. And she fell over. And I thought about the scripture where the Bible says that he takes their breath away. Literally, that means he removes their spirit. See that word spirit? It's a word for breath. You know, breath, spirit. So literally what happened was grandma's talking and you know, God had to get her while she was talking. There wasn't any other time. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't wait for her to buy. He had to interrupt her in the middle of her conversation and say, "Well, hey, honey, you're coming home to be with me. You've been on the earth. Your work's done." And she just left it. Remember him telling us that? We were picking up her stuff. We were getting her stuff. And he told us that. And I thought about that after he said that. Well, you know, God just came and got, he just removed her spirit. And when your spirit leaves, your body falls over. Hallelujah. That's the way I want to go. You can go any way you want to go. If you want to go beat down, you can have what you believe.
Amen.
Amen. But I take, you know, I've been fighting some things in my body, you know, but I've been taking God's medicine. Amen. You know, the doc gave me some medicine for it, but I told God even this morning, I've told him before, I said, "Look, I'm not going to take their medicine and I don't take yours." You all hear what I'm saying? I'll throw those out, theirs out before I throw yours out. So I'm taking his. What's his? His promises. I've just got them typed out like 3 pages of healing scriptures and just read those and confess those over in my life. And you know what? That medicine, because I always think about the scripture, and I was teaching on this the other day, but I always think about the scripture where the Bible says that Asa was diseased in his feet, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to seek the Lord. Now, if I have to go to doctor, fine, but he's second on the case. He's number two. God's number one. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, this is building a culture of the Word in your life where the Word starts talking to you about everything in your life. Amen. Now, you know, you grow, you grow in levels, you grow in this, but I don't ever say, now if you say this, I'm not getting on to you, and you do what you want, but I never say I can't afford something. Now, I might not have the money to buy it, but anything the Lord wants me to have, I can afford it because He's my supply. Are y'all with me? I'm not lying and saying, I won't tell you in line and say, "Yeah, I got the money to pay cash for that." I may not have the money to pay cash for that, but I'm not going to tell you I can't afford it because I've got somebody backing me. Come on. They can afford anything. And so I'm not going to limit him or cut him out of that. If God wants me to have it, well, I can afford it. Maybe a little bit before I get it, when God brings the money, when He brings the supply, but I'm just not going to cut off the Word out of my life. Amen. So you have to learn to build the Word in every area of your life. It starts building the culture of the Word. Look at Romans chapter 12. Go there. This is kind of familiar territory, but let's go there, Romans 12. Come on, is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? You got to build that culture of the Word in your life where, you know, you don't just let the world or how things are supposed to be just be in your life, because a lot of things that that people accept as normal aren't normal. It's not normal. Because the Bible sets a pretty high standard about living life. And when you understand, and I know, you know, some people don't know this, they don't get this, they don't see this, but it's still there. I said it's still there when you read it. David said that God forgives all of our iniquities. Now most people believe that. But did you know He also said He heals all of our diseases? Now what is a disease? It's a dis-ease. Something that takes your ease away. Right? So you got an issue in your body. Well, it's not comfortable. Is it? You know, I've never been sick and thought, man, this is great. I hope I get some more of this. You know, Jesus said, I've come to give you the flu and that more abundantly. He didn't say that, did he? Now, sometimes we have to fight stuff like that. I know that. I'm not dumb, but I'm just saying, I don't just accept that and lay down and say this is the will of God for my life. It's not. Now, you know, there's ministers that say, you know, part of your suffering is suffering sickness and disease for the Lord. But you know, you can't find that animal in the Bible. He got glory when people got healed. The Bible says that, you know, people got healed, they gave glory. Remember the lepers, you know, when Jesus healed, cleansed 10 of them, and one came back and gave glory. Jesus acted like every one of them should have come back. He said, where are the other nine? See what I'm saying? See, and there's nobody that Jesus ever ran into that He said, now, I'm not going to heal you because God wants you this way. Come on, you can't find that in the Bible, can you? He healed them all, didn't He? Sometimes He healed multitudes. I mean, we don't know how many, but it could have been thousands of people. He had so many people that He'd have to get in a boat and get on the lake to keep them getting pressed by all the people. And so what they're saying, they'll talk about Paul's thorn and don't have any idea what Paul's thorn was. He tells you what it was. It was a messenger of Satan sent to harass me. That's pretty plain, isn't it? He didn't say it was a messenger from God sent to bless me. He said it was a devil sent to harass me. And then He talks about the things He went through, the stonings and so forth. You know, and I don't mean, not 1960s and 70s stonings. Okay, that went over some of your head. We used to work, you know, remember we used to use the word, I'm getting wasted. We didn't know how right we were. We labeled it right, that's for sure. But how many know He got stoned, rocks thrown at Him? He got beat with rods. He was in shipwreck. You know, he was persecuted and chased out of cities and so forth. That was that messenger of the devil stirring things up every place he'd go. Amen. And people will say, well, in Galatians it said that He preached the gospel to them with infirmity of the flesh. Yeah, but keep reading the verse. He said it first. So maybe He did have something, but He got healed because He said it first. Well, I don't know about you. Since I've saved, I've had infirmities of the flesh. Am I the only one? But it wasn't the will of God. It's just an attack of the enemy. Or maybe your body malfunctioned. Or, you know, I mean, all this is because of sin. Remember, Jesus told a couple people, said, you know, He healed them and said, now go sin no more. It's indicating that sin could open the door. Doesn't mean you sin because you're sick. How many understand that? But it could mean that just in general, sin opened the door and let all that in on the planet. And so, you know, there's all kinds of bugs and viruses and deadly things out there that you could just get just living in the world. But they all came because of the curse, because of the fall. None of it came because of God. Come on, help me preach, somebody. Because, you know, this has been taught even on from pulpits all over America, all over the world, on TV, that, you know, God wants you to have this. He's going to teach you something now. No, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. That's what the Bible says. The Word teaches you. And I've heard people say, well, you know, I got sick and I got closer to God. Well, that's great. I'm glad you did. But you can get close to God without getting sick. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. I've seen people, yeah, they had all kinds of tragedy come in life and they got saved. You know what I mean? I mean, we used to have the full gospel businessmen. Remember those, Pastor Brad? And people, the gory, the testimony, the better. You know, I got stabbed 3 times, ran over by a train, shot 4 or 5 times, you know, and, you know, was homeless for 6 years and, you know, and didn't have anything to eat for 5 weeks and I found the Lord. I think you're just stupid, man. One shooting would have got me saved. Come on. Now, I'm glad you survived it, but that's not what drew you to God. You didn't have to have that. Tragedy might. Maybe I've seen people turn to the Lord in tragedy. I understand that. But they didn't have to have that. And don't blame it on God. That's just the devil that sent that to you. He comes to, the Bible says, kill, steal, and destroy. Not God. God comes to bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, people say, well, God's going to get you. Listen, honey, if God was going to get you, you'd be God. It didn't take him long to get you. Amen. It wouldn't be anything left of all of us but a greasy spot if God got ticked at us every time we messed up. Thank God there's no condemnation. Those are in Christ. Amen. And we can get up and brush ourselves off and go on. Amen. All right, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, or don't be fashioned or, a mold. How many know what a mold is? A mold. We saw a card. I won't say everything that was on and everything wasn't sanctified, but I thought it was really funny. Years ago, Phyllis and I were someplace, and we saw this card. I thought about getting it for somebody I knew, but she wouldn't let me because it had a bad word on it. But anyway, it said, when you were made, they broke the mold and beat the blank out of the mold maker. I said, I'm going to get that. No, you're not. How many know what a mold is? Not mold on the wall, a mold. You know, where you mold things. You make an image, you make it into a certain image, you know. You mold it. Well, the world wants to mold you into their image. Have you ever noticed how touchy they are about it? They want us all to be alike. You ever notice that? Yeah, they don't want any free thinking. They don't want any of what we believe. They want us all to conform. Thinking that'll bring unity. That won't bring unity. That'll bring the devil. So, you know, don't be molded into the world's mold, which you will be. Listen, you will be, even if you're a believer, you will be if you don't mold yourself a different way. If you don't get another mold to bend you in the right direction. You ever had plant a tree and the wind comes along and it bends it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to start molding the thing back to the right direction. So you got to put a rope on there or something and pull it over and stake it in the ground and you're molding it to go straight. Well, God's Word will mold you. It'll build a culture in your life. Amen? That'll bless you. Amen. So he says, look at this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So how many know you're going to renew your mind with God's Word? Look what God said. Let's go here, Deuteronomy 11. Are you all with me now? Deuteronomy chapter 11. Go there. Deuteronomy 11. And so you got to let the Word direct your thinking and your actions. Amen. You know, I had the doctor tell me this one time. He said, I had something. He said, I didn't rebuke him. Don't misunderstand, because, you know, he's just telling you what he found, okay? And he said, well, it's incurable. But as soon as he said, I thought, no, it's not. Because I know somebody can cure anything. You just told me you can't fix it. And I appreciate you trying to help. But I know somebody can fix it. I'm not molded that way. I'm not bent that way. I don't have anything in my life that's not fixable. Neither do you. Neither does anybody else if they just knew it. It's all fixable by God's word. Amen. And so I didn't get on him saying, I didn't rebuke the doctor, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just charismatic craziness, but people used to do that, and it's like, why did you even go? He just told you what he found. Amen. You take your car in, and they say, hey, you need new spark plugs. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Well, you still need new spark plugs. Amen. You know, you can cover up the gas gauge with your hanky and believe God, but you're still going to walk. Right? So you can't deny what's really there. But the thing of it, how many of there's a fix for an empty tank? Go to Costco and buy some gas. Or, Quickie Pick or whatever, wherever you like to go, How many know there's when the doctor says incurable, how many know there's a fix for that? Now, what did he tell me? He told me what he found in the natural, right? Just what the natural says, okay? That's what the natural verdict is on it. But that's not the Bible verdict on it. Jesus healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. So I'm going to accept that. All right, Lord, they can't fix it, but you can fix it. And I'm not leaving you out of the equation. Amen? Look at this in, did you find Deuteronomy 11? Look at verse 18. Therefore, this is what God told Israel. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now what he's talking about there, the Jewish people, some of them at times wore what they call phylacteries. And phylacteries were leather pouches that they put on their body, their forehead, their arm, that had scripture in them, that reminded them that they were in covenant with God. They had some help. Amen. He says, and now listen to this, and you shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is he talking about? He's talking about changing the culture, see. You know what I'm saying? How many know you need to, not only just bring your kids to church, but you need to teach them the word at home. And build that culture in them. And you shall write them upon your doorposts and of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. Isn't that good? Yeah. In the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them. And I like the way the King James says this, as days of heaven upon the earth. How many want some heaven on earth? Well, he said, if you build the word as part of your culture, you'll fill your life with it. You'll have heaven on earth. And I can testify, it's true. Hallelujah. It's true. Amen. Now, remember, let me just say this. God told Joshua when Joshua was about ready to take the children of Israel to the promised land, he told him to meditate the word day and night, didn't he? Amen. Why? Because he had to change their thinking had to be changed. They went in there to spy out the land that God was going to give them, the promised land, and they came back and said, it's full of giants. It's full of fenced cities. The people of the land, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. So they've put this in people, didn't they? The Bible says they made the heart of the people melt. So God said, if you're going to pull this off, if you're going to do this, I've given you the land, but if you're going to possess it, you're going to have to fill yourself with the word. You're going to have to defeat that culture of the giants. Oh, hear me, somebody. And realize the real giants living inside of you. And don't let that. See, sometimes we do get things that try to overwhelm us. Sometimes we get news and it's like, man, it's bad news. But God. There's a guy in the Bible named Jairus, and he came to Jesus and asked him, he said, come and lay your hands on my daughter. She's 12 years age and she's lying, dying. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. Notice he didn't have to pray about it. He already knew the will of God. I'll come and heal her. And so he's got, you know, he's going to his house. And the remember the woman with the issue of blood? She stops him. She touches the hem of his garment. You know, she's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She's been to all the physicians. None of it's worked. She comes to Jesus. She gets healed immediately. And then Jesus said, hey, who touched me? And the woman, fearing and trembling, told him what she did, you know. And the Bible says she told him the whole truth. I mean, that could have took a while. She may have told him. How many preachers have ever been in a prayer line and somebody tries to tell you the whole truth? You're like, oh, that's good enough, sister. All right, we got it. We was in a meeting years ago. I asked, man, this was back probably the late 80s. Brother Greg Davis and I, and we were at a meeting, and Andrew Womack was preaching and at this church, you know. It was a church in Bedford. And this guy comes up for prayer. He prays for him. He gets slain in the spirit. He gets back up. He's got something else wrong. So he prays for him again. He gets slain in the spirit. The guy gets up. He tells him he's got something else wrong. He prays for him again. He gets slain in the spirit. He gets back up, and he says he's got something else wrong. Brother Womack finally laid his hand on him and said, Lord, just give him a new brain. We never have forgot that. We thought that was so funny. He's like, man, this guy's got too many problems. Overhaul this guy. Amen. How many of this woman told all the truth? So this probably took a while. And so J. Iris is waiting here, you know. And so men don't normally wait patiently. Is that a fair statement? Or, you know, it's like, I'm waiting. And so, but by the time all this gets done, someone comes from Jairus' house and says, don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter's dead. Tell me, that's bad news. But did you know it didn't change Jesus' culture one bit? He said, hey, fear not. Believe only, she'll be made whole. Right. See, the world can't change your victorious culture unless you let it.
Right.
You have to give it permission to.
That's right.
But if you'll stick with the word, it'll bring you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to know what belongs to you, don't you? Look at Genesis chapter 3 as we get ready to wind down. I hope you get something out of this tonight. Genesis chapter 3, just talking about building a culture of the Word. Let the Word dictate to you how you think about things, what you expect in life. Amen. How you're going to live your life. And how about your morality? Let the Word dictate. You know, the world's got their version of what's moral and what's right and so forth, but God's got another version, doesn't He? And it doesn't always jive, right? Right? See, you know, just because it's acceptable with culture doesn't mean it's acceptable with God. You got to find out what He said about it. Amen. People talk about, well, it was just a little white lie. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about little white lies. It just talks about black lies. Amen. I mean, people say, well, it was just a little white lie. You know, I'm basically honest. What's that supposed to mean? I'm basically honest. That means I won't cheat you unless I have to. I don't want to buy a car off of you, brother. Anyway, praise the Lord. Look at Genesis chapter 3. This is all in the Bible, isn't it? Our victory, amen. Now look at verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now what is he doing? He's attacking God's word, isn't he? See? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. Now, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God didn't say that. She messed that up. He just said, don't eat of it. And the serpent said unto the woman, now notice this, you shall not surely die. There he goes again. He's attacking the word, isn't he?
Yeah.
For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall know, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And we know the rest of the story there, don't we? But what was the devil doing? See, God had built a culture of the Word in the Garden of Eden, how they were going to live. And the devil came along and tried to change that. I mean, he's still doing that today. Jesus said, the sower sows the Word, and Satan cometh immediately. How many know, if he comes immediately to take the word which has been sown, if he comes immediately, that's got to tell us he's afraid of it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. What if your wife comes, you're watching football on Sunday afternoon, and your wife comes in and says, honey, the garage is on fire. You don't just say, I'll be there in a minute, hon. I want to see how the game ends. I don't know. Some of you might. I don't know. I don't know. You have to figure that one out. But how many know normal people aren't going to say, well, I'll be there in a little bit. What are you going to do? You're going to immediately try to put that out. Why? Because it's dangerous. Next thing you know, the whole house is going to be on fire, right? So when we get the word, man, it's a in us, it's a fire to the devil. He wants to put out immediately because he knows that if we get the word, it changes our culture and it causes us to be victorious over him. So, you know, we're not going to read that tonight. We don't take time to do it. But you know Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. Satan comes immediately to take the word out of their hearts. The word taketh away, it means to make you doubt it, is what it means. It makes you, he comes, listen, the Bible says he comes to take away the word, and if that doesn't work, then if you receive the word, then he sends persecution and affliction to steal the word. If that doesn't work, he tries to use cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things to steal the word. So he's got a warfare against the word, doesn't he? The devil's at war against God's word. And the way he does, number one, he uses doubt. He tries to get you to doubt it. If that doesn't work, then he uses discouragement. He tries to send affliction or persecution to give you to give up. And if that doesn't work, he uses distractions. But he's got methods to try to get you. But thank God the Bible says there's those that receive it, hang on to it, and bring forth fruit. Everybody say, that's me. I bring forth fruit. Amen. So he tries to change the culture. Now, let's go. I know we went to some scripture tonight. Let's go to one more in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We're just talking about building a culture of the Word. That's what I began to do. When I got saved, like I said, you know my testimony. I came out of a life of using drugs. And I'm talking not just, you know, little minor things like St. Joseph Children's Aspirins or something. We were using major, you know, kick your boots a hiney drugs that will kill you if you're not careful with them. They'll kill you. And so, now I never did needles because I don't like shots. There's just something about shot. I mean, I can take getting a shot. I'm a big boy, but I don't like to watch it. Now I can watch Westerns where they shoot you and blow you in half. I don't have any problem. But, you know, I really don't like the gory stuff. I take that back. You know, like the old Westerns, you don't even see any blood. They just, they get shot and like there's no bullet holes. It's like. But, you know, but Phyllis could, maybe she's seen me do this. If I see somebody on TV and they're trying to get somebody shot, I turn the other way. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. So I never did drugs with like needles because it's like, no, I'm not going there. But every other way we did them. But you know what? When I got saved, I started feeding on the Word. I started feeding on the Bible. I started going to church and hearing the Word preached to me. I started listening to people preach. My culture started getting changed. Now, it didn't change overnight. I mean, I immediately dropped the drugs and all that, but my mind was still a little squirrely. My mind would just talk to me and say, well, you've lost it. You've lost your mind. It's Friday night and you're reading the Bible. What are you doing? You see what I'm saying? I had to keep feeding on the Word and change that, not listen to that. Amen. And I had to fight some things. And even I'll just confess to you, one time I went uptown, I thought, well, I got discouraged. I mean, this isn't working out for me. And I got discouraged and went uptown to go to the bar to see if some of my friends with Pervicles were there, and they weren't there, and I went home. I thought, thank you, Jesus, praise God. I don't know why they weren't at the bar. They're always there, but God intervened, praise God, said, you guys ain't going tonight. I went back home, got in the Word. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I didn't slip. I didn't mess up, but boy, I was too close to the edge. But what happened? But see, I kept feeding on God's Word. I kept coming to the house of the Lord and let the pastor preach the Word to me. And then when I wasn't at church, I was reading my Bible or reading good faith books, you know, or listening to good preaching, you know, that lined up with what, the Word. And began to renew my culture, began to change my mind, you know, and so forth. I had to have my culture change. And it's just radical how God will change you. Amen. And, you know, there's some people, they were rougher than me. Some people were just mean. And, you know, get a hold of the Word and get that culture in them, they become teddy bears. Because the love of God gets inside of them. It changes everything about them. Hallelujah. Man, there isn't anything the world's got to offer that does that. Amen. You know, I've got a friend in the ministry. Now, before he was in the ministry, you know, he went into, I don't know how many times he went into places to dry out. You know, they'd stick him in these, places where they'd try to dry you out and all. And he said, man, I'd do drugs while I was in there. Get somebody to sneak it into you and everything else. You know, he just couldn't get free. It had him bound. But Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word changes your culture. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. If you could just get this to people, you just want to, you know what I'm saying? You just want to bust their heads open and stuff this in there and say, hey, I got something that works. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so, amen. Now look at verse 17, Romans 4. Did I tell you there? All right, we'll close with this. As it is written, this is talking to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, or like unto him he believed, even God, who quickens the dead. And notice, God calls those things which be not as though they were. That's how he changes the culture, see. He calls things that be not as though they were. He just changes things by his words, right? Who against hope believed in hope, this is talking about Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Now notice that it says, who against hope. What does that mean? And he believed in hope. It means he didn't have any natural hope, but yet hope came from someplace else besides the world. What's going to happen if you're 100 years old and you go to the doctor with your wife that's 90 years old, and he says, well, what do you need today? What's going on? Well, we want to have a baby. Do you have any fertility drugs that might work? I mean, no, he can't help you, can he? Right? I mean, this is beyond. Look, this is beyond the natural, isn't it? And so, this is where Abraham was at. So how many know, in the natural, he had how much hope? Zero. Right? But yet it said he still had hope. Well, his hope didn't come from the natural. Amen. You know, if you're younger, yeah, maybe they could help you do some things, you know, or something. But no hope here. Amen. But he got hope. Where did he get his hope? Look, verse 18, last part. According to that which was spoken. What God said gave him hope. God said, so shall your seed be. So you run that reference down, and God told him his seed was going to be as the stars of heaven, the sand of the sea. And notice verse 19, and being not weak in faith. Now, how many would say, I don't want to have weak faith? You know what the opposite of weak faith is? It's strong faith. So what is weak faith? Weak faith says, look at this. If, in being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So what is weak faith? Weak faith considers the circumstances. Abraham didn't consider that. Now, he didn't deny that. He just didn't consider it. It's not a consideration in what's going to happen in my life. I mean, follow what I'm saying. See, sometimes people get weird and they say, well, I deny, I don't have that. Yeah, you do, but you don't have to consider that. Does that make sense to you? See, in other words, he didn't deny I'm 100 years old. My wife's 90, and it's way past time. I mean, they ain't even sleeping in the same tent. When I was a kid, you know, grandma and grandpa slept in separate bedrooms. I thought, that's strange. I got older and thought, well, now I know why. You get old enough, all you do is keep each other awake. Now, Phyllis and I sleep in the same bedroom. Not that that's any of your business, but anyway. I'm just preaching, that's all. I'm just saying, you know, you get so old, some things quit working right, and that's what happened in Abraham. He didn't have any natural hope, but guess what? He considered that not. He didn't deny that. He just said, since God said something else, come on, since God said something else, I'm going to consider what he said, not what my circumstances say. So weak faith considers what the circumstances say instead of what God says. Strong faith considers what God says instead of what the circumstances say. Now notice verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, which this is a, I don't know too many people has gotten a promise like this. The only one I can think of that got a promise like this that was even more powerful than this was Mary. When the angel said, you're going to have a, you know, a child, son of God, and you're a virgin. I mean, that was even more than this. But she believed it, right? And so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being, now notice this, fully persuaded that what he promised he's able to perform. How many know that the word that God gave him changed his entire culture? You know, we had they've moved away now. They live in a different state. But we had a couple that came here years ago. And I don't know how many years that they were believing to have a child, maybe seven. It seemed like seven to me. But a number of years they were believing to have a child. But, you know, she told me one day, she said, well, I'll tell you what I've done, Pastor. I went, and in one of our rooms, I turned it into a nursery. I said, well, see, she's letting the word change her culture, see, because she believed God wanted her to have one. And so she ended up with two. You know, but I'm convinced it's the word. She had to let the word, and her husband, they had to let the word change their thinking and their culture, because if God says something, it overrides everything else, if you'll let it. Right? I'm talking about in your life. How many know what he says ultimately, his final authority, right? But in your life, if it's going to be final authority in your life, in other words, a promise that he's promised you, if it's going to be final authority in your life, you have to let it be. You have to consider not what you see and consider what he said. Amen. Amen. Wigglesworth said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by God, what God said. And that's the way we got to be. Did you get something tonight? Yeah. So you have to let the word change your culture. Build a culture of the word in your life. So when you meet things every day, you run into situations, which we all do, you think, what's the word say about this? Does the word have anything to say about this? Amen. Amen. You know, you know, a problem comes up. Well, what's the Bible tell me about this? What's the word promise about this? Does it have anything to say? Amen. Right? You know, I'm really closing. But I heard a guy say, you know, he was going through some financial problems, trouble. But, you know, and I mean, he had a business and stuff, but it just, things just, they just went south. And so he said, I went to church. I said, because I was kind of down. I wanted to hear my pastor preach and get built up. And he said he had a guest speaker, you know, that day. And he said, I was disappointed because I wanted to hear him, because he said, you know, he preached faith and victory. I wanted to hear him. He had this guest speaker. So he said, I was kind of down. He said, the guest speaker gets up. And they said, well, before I preach, you know, I've got a word for somebody here. I don't know who it is, but the Lord said to tell you, to give you 1 Timothy 5:8. And so they read 1 Timothy 5:8 and says, he that doesn't provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. You know, remember, ever read that scripture? He doesn't provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. And this person said, you know what? God obeys that scripture himself. He said, when they said that to me, he said, I don't hear the rest of what they said, because all I could think was, praise God. This might not be his exact words, but I'm coming out of this mess. God's going to provide for me. And he said, sure enough, in about a week, he said, we got two checks that took care of everything plus. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the Word. He let the Word change his culture and began to expect something. God said he'd feed the birds. Well, how about us? Yes. Amen. Amen. And so he began to expect that, and things began to change. Amen. God is so good. He's made so many promises. It's just so rich. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.